Welcome to the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton, a message to help us focus on the truth of God. Focus can sometimes be very difficult, at least in my life. I've had difficulty kind of paying attention. And that's the message today from Dr. Don Wilton, concluding the message he began yesterday about paying attention to God's truth. Now, if you missed yesterday, that's fine. You won't miss a thing. Dr. Don will catch you up in just a minute. But you need to realize that if you ever miss an episode, you can hear it on our website, theencouragingword.org, 24 hours a day. Hear it again, share it with a friend. There are also video versions of these messages. It's all there at theencouragingword.org. And also, know that we'd love to pray with you and for you. We still answer the phone every single day, all night at 866-899-9673. Love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I began to ask myself a question. What happens when a ship drifts? Couple of things. Number one, when a ship drifts, it's lost its anchor. That's which holds it steady. Are you an unsteady Christian? Are you a Christian with no anchor? Watch me, folks. I want to say this very lovingly. Are you just a wishy-washy Christian? Actually, quite frankly, I'm going to say it. Your wife's been wanting to tell you this for a long time. You're just useless, man, as a believer. You come and you say you're a believer, and you are a believer. Nobody's questioning, are you going to heaven? But man, are you kind of just useless? You got no anchor. Your children know it. You know it. Your wife knows it. You're just like a ship without an anchor. You've got nothing that holds you together. You just waft around. When a ship drifts, number two, it doesn't know where it's going. I remember 40 years ago fishing on a river in Africa with my father-in-law, whom we affectionately call Bumper. Love him. B-U-M-P-A. I think best grandpa name in the world. And here I am with my father-in-law fishing African River, and a storm came up. I don't think for the rest of my life I'll ever forget that. How we made it out of there alive, I don't know. But you talk about not knowing where we were going. We couldn't see in front of the boat. The rain, the wind, the waves, I mean, you name it. When a ship drifts, it doesn't know where it's going. It's got no destination. It's taken wherever the wind blows it. That's you, isn't it? When you're in the stand with everybody, you just blow along with that group. When you're at the club, you just blow along with that group. When you're in church, man, you just blow along with that group. When you're with the boys, you just blow along with the boys. When you're in that group talk, you just blow along. You don't know where you're going. It's not that you're not a ship. You need to pay attention. If you don't pay attention to what God is saying, you're going to drift. Folks, America is off course. Number three, when a ship drifts, it's open to the elements. It's open to the elephants. It just blows wherever it goes. Here comes the rain. Here comes the wind. Here comes the tornado. Here comes the sun. Here comes the heat. Here comes the cold. When a ship drifts, the elements are in charge. There are a lot of believers listening right now. You'd in a heartbeat, if someone knocked on your door right now and said, "Do you know Jesus?" You'd say, "Well, of course I do." And you do. But the elements are in charge of your life. That's why it doesn't really matter what God says. You don't stand up for truth because it doesn't really matter. It's kind of, what does the mob say? Or what's politically correct? or what's going to make me have a little more money, or how's this going to affect my business? The elements are in charge of a ship without an anchor. Number four, when a ship drifts, it has potential to run aground. It really does. You know, we don't like to talk about that, but do you know that a ship without an anchor can be destroyed, can wreck? Do you know on the current course in America, we are heading for a wreck? But I'm more concerned about your life and my life, on your current course, because you're not paying attention as a believer. You're going to end up in a wreck. You're going to run aground. You're going to break apart. When a ship drifts, number five, this is logical, it has no power. I keep talking about our nation because I love our country so much. There's a big picture here. Our nation has lost its power. What's happened to us? I'm not talking about a big stick like an empire. I mean, where's the American influence? Our leaders get up and say something and the rest of the world says, and so? What kind of leader is that? But then you look at it within our borders. Then you look at it within our state. Then you look at it within our city. And then you look at it within our families. I'm just picking on some of you men here today. You've got no power in your family. Now, when I use the word power, I'm talking about in leadership. Dad, you got no voice. You're a ship. You belong to Jesus, but you got no voice because you got no power. You got no juice. You're just drifting. Your kids know it. They watch you. You get up there and yap until the cows come home, but you go and do it like everybody else does it. They watch the way you speak to your mother, to their mother. They're listening. They're watching your attitude, and they're watching how you conduct yourself, and they're watching how you react, and they're watching how you behave when you play golf. They watch how you lose your temper. They watch how words come out of your mouth whenever you don't feel good. They're watching all of this. You're a ship, but you got no power. You're useless. You're not paying attention to what God is saying to you. Stand up, man. Stand up. When a ship drifts, this is a tough one. Number six, it jeopardizes all the other passengers. You know, that's the hard part about believers who don't pay attention, is they jeopardize those that surround them. Some of you dads are like ships without an anchor, and you're drifting, and the tragedy is your children are falling through the cracks. You're bringing up your sons and daughters. You're teaching them to be unfaithful to church. You're telling them to do everything else. You couldn't care less. You'd rather have them out there doing something. You're making excuses for them. You're stopping them. You're not leading them in your home. And then you wonder why, when they grow up, you don't smell them for dust. They've gone. They seem to have no interest in the house of God or the things of God or the things that matter. And you wonder why they turn to all these other things. It's because you haven't paid attention. You haven't paid attention. Let me read that verse to you again. This verse to me just got all over me because I kept thinking of how much I've drifted in my life. I've become convinced that the lowest points in my life have been when I have just paid no attention to what God is saying. I've lost my anchor and I don't know where I'm going, and I've allowed the elements to dictate the direction of my life, and I've run aground and I've got no power, and I've jeopardized all those who look to me. Therefore, we must pay attention to the things which we are hearing, lest at any time we should let them slip Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And in the next three verses, the writer describes what this looks like. If I do not, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian man, I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. You know, I really am. I don't understand all of that. I don't understand how God could be so kind and so gracious and so loving and so long-suffering with me, because I've drifted so many times. But this is what happens when I don't pay attention. This is what is happening to you when you don't pay attention. This is the soul of America. This is this nation that claims to trust in God. This is what is happening in America today. This is why we're in such trouble. If we just stop pointing fingers at the White House and at our politicians and at Main Street, we need to sit up and take note that God's pointing a finger at us. God's pointing a finger at me. He's saying to me, Don, stop pointing a finger at everybody else and telling everybody else how bad and how wrong they are. If you do not pay attention to the things that you are hearing, here is what the consequence is. Number one, you will have a light view of sin. Verse 2, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That's just a summary of Romans 3:23, where the apostle says that the wages of sin is death. If you don't pay attention to what God is saying, you're going to have a light view of sin. I present to you America. Here it is, folks. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I live. If I decide it's okay, or here's another one. You know, God doesn't mind. Or you know, I know that is just not. But you know, this is America. What we actually believe is that everybody just needs to have the right to just do whatever they want to do. Doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I'm a Christian man. God doesn't take a light view of sin. I don't know how else to say that. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's why I'm so grateful that I'm a believer, because I too am a sinner. I too want to believe in my own ability and my own destiny. I want to do it my way. But thanks to the Lord, when God shows to me what He has to say, He not only gives me the ability to do it His way, but He forgives me when I don't. You get that? There's hope. That's the hope of the cross. That's why Jesus died on the cross for you. And for me.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and he's got so much more to come in this paying attention to God's truth message. But you know, paying attention to God's truth is not something we just tune in on a particular Friday edition of the Encouraging Word, or even on Sundays and Wednesdays. God wants to be a part of every aspect of our life. And one of the special tools here at the Encouraging Word, it's indeed the most popular resource we have. It's absolutely free. It's called the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. Now, it began old school, so to speak, on paper, and still is available. If you'd like a copy, a physical copy, we put it together in quarterly sections, so you've got a little book that'll take you through the next 3 months. It's available by calling 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, and asking for your copy of the Encouraging Word. Many of the moms I know keep it above their visor, and while they're in carpool line, have a mini kind of extra quiet time right there in the middle of the day with Dr. Don. Or perhaps you'd like to do what I do, and I like to start my day with that early morning email from Dr. Wilton. You can sign up for that on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. or you can just text the word daily to 30500. That's right, one word, daily, to 30500. We'll text you back a quick link. You'll sign up, and by this time tomorrow, you'll be receiving that daily encouraging word email from Dr. Don Wilton. In order to stay focused, to stay kind of paying attention to God's truth, that's what the message is about today. Our great challenge to you is spend some time, some quiet time with God every day. It'll be the greatest new discipline that'll help you grow in your faith. And if we can help, we're here to do that. Now back to today's message, Paying Attention to God's Truth with Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. That's why the only difference between the best of us in here and the worst of them out there is the grace of God. I do like that bumper sticker. Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiven. I'm just a forgiven man. I'm not a perfect man. That's why I don't spend my time going around condemning everybody. And if you and I don't pay attention, we're going to develop this light view of sin. We no longer use God's standard as the standard by which we measure our behavior, because we've developed a light view of sin, because we've drifted. One church denomination after another in America, mainline denominations, are splitting down the middle. That's the issue. It's over their view of sin. It's saying, well, you know, we're not going to believe the Bible. I mean, and you know, if God and we just this, but we got to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get together a group of us men and women, and we're going to decide. That's why no man will ever run this church. Only God does. That's why I'm here to announce to you, whomever you might be, we might have bylaws and highways and byways and ways to run and ways to do, and we always need to do that. But what God says in His Word is the fabric of the life and ministry of First Baptist Church Spartanburg. It is our textbook. We are going to ask God. And we are not going to step down off that. I don't care what you think about it or how much you feel you have a right. This is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. This is the house of the living God. I present to you, America, what happens when you and I don't pay attention. When I don't pay attention to God, it means that I give myself a lot of license when it comes to sin. I got a light view. I justify my behavior because I got a light view of sin. I don't believe that what the angels said about God and sin is truth. Number two, when I do not pay attention, it means that I will have a loose regard for the greatness of salvation. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It means I've got a very loose attitude to the greatness of salvation. What's the greatness of salvation? It's forgiveness, it's reconciliation, it's newness, it's redemption, it's knowing Christ, it's having joy. It's knowing that I'm going to heaven. It's peace. When I drift away, the greatness of salvation loses its seat of prominence in the fabric of my daily habitation. It gets relegated down to second and third and fourth. It no longer occupies a central place in the fabric of my lifestyle. Salvation is not the greatest thing in the world. What is the greatest thing in the world is my football team and my bank balance and my ability to do this and my greatness and my hero that I watch on television and my ability to be able to travel. All of that becomes more important to me than the greatness of what God has done for me in Christ Jesus. When I drift away from Him, I lose that sense of awe about the awesome greatness of a wonderful and a holy and a righteous God who would love me despite myself. That's why you and I have got to be so convinced. We've got to have the best show in town to make us serve Him, or to go to church, or to gather together, or to give our money. Why have we got to beg you to tithe to the Lord? Why have we got to come out here? Why, church? Why have we got to come and say, please just do what God says? God's plan is give 10% of everything you have to the Lord's work. Why have we got to beg? Because you've lost the greatness of salvation. You believe that your money is better spent on yourself. You've lost it. You don't get it. You'd rather spend your extra money on buying hamburgers and hot dogs for everybody at the stadium than giving money so that people can go and tell people about Jesus. Why am I begging you, church, for resources? Why am I begging you to give so that our young people can go on mission? Why am I begging you to give so that someone off the street can have a shower on a Sunday morning? Why am I begging you so that someone can come to our helping ministry center and get a plate of food to eat? Why are we begging our church to give? I'll tell you why, because the Bible says we're not paying attention to the things which we have heard, and we're drifting. And when we drift, we're going to have a light view of sin. We're going to have a loose regard for the greatness of salvation. I'm calling upon this church to rise up. I'm calling upon believers across this nation to stand up and be counted. And if we do not pay attention, number three, you will have a limited understanding of the testimony of God. That fourth verse there is staggering. God bearing witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts. Do you know why you and I as believers spend so much time in our hearts saying, what? Where? Do you know how it is that we go from Monday through to Sunday, week by week by week by week, and we don't even see God? You want me to tell you why? Because we're not paying attention. God is working, folks. Signs and wonders and miracles. God is actively engaged. Lives are being changed. People are finding hope all across America. People are coming to know Christ. Addicts are coming back to the center. People are laying down their vices. Yes, in the midst of all of these things, the reason why so many believers today are sitting there with a dumbfounded look upon their faces, wondering where God is simply because He tells us that when we do not pay attention to the things that we are hearing, we will drift. And when we drift, we will have a limited understanding of the testimony of God. Our lives become so clouded, and we drift away, and we drift away, and we drift away, and we just drift. And those of us who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, many people can't even see us, and they don't even know, and the cameras can't even catch us. They wonder where we are, and nobody can hear us, and we become little mice of men and women with little voices, and we walk around with our heads bowed, and we all just nod, and we're afraid, and we don't say anything, and we just want to uphold it, and we just become a bunch of just useless, believing drifters. Therefore, we must pay more attention to the things which we have heard that come from the heart of God. lest at any time we should drift away. Do you know, my friends, God is speaking to my heart. He's speaking to your heart. I know that He is. Would you join me in seeking the face of God? Lord, we seek your face. We repent before you, Lord. We call upon you. You've been so patient with us. We've drifted so many times. We've let you down so many times. You're calling us and calling us and calling us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us as people. Have mercy upon us as a nation. Hear our cry, O Lord. Restore to us the joy of thy salvation. Give to us a re-energized spirit. Let us see tomorrow through the eyes of a loving God and know that the best is yet to be. Help us to know that it's never too late in God's economy. Impress upon us the deep truths of your word. Give us a hunger and thirst after righteousness and raise us up to be true men and women of the cross. For this is our prayer that we pray together in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You come today giving your life to Christ, trusting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Put your faith in Him. Renew your commitment to Him today. Watch Him because He's our strong tower. Be to our God forever and ever because salvation belongs to our God.
Powerful song lyrics, powerful words of truth. And the great word is God loves you. He is ready to build a new relationship with you to last forever and forever. Forever could be a frightening thing if you don't know where you're going to spend it. Know that you'll spend it with Jesus Christ as you give your heart to Him. I want you to remember our phone number. It's a great place to have questions answered, to have someone pray for you, pray with you. That's 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, ready to pray, ready to listen, ready to connect you with free resources. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, keyboard to keyboard is fine with us on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. You've heard a great deal from the pastor today, but I pray you would hear this final thought and let it take root. Here's Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.